Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since cement. And you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to artist Caroline Debrecov about all the work she does and how this benefits people. Welcome to the show, Caroline. How are you doing?
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. How's your week been so far?
Oh, it's great. Busy, busy, busy. But at least paint has met the canvas this week, so I'm happy. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. Caroline, I think it'd be great if you could tell us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. Well, I trained in Florence at an atelier, and they work by a method that the old masters used, which is called sight size. It's a simple method, really. You stand back and you have the sitter next to the work, and you can get the right perspective that way. So I guess my work is, it's representational, but I do love freer brush marks and pushing colors at times. And even if the tones stay the same, in order to make the painting seem like it's really lifelike.
That's brilliant. So where was it? Italy, did you say?
Yeah, Florence, Italy, yes.
Oh, that must have been great. How long was you out there for?
I was there for 3 years, very intensive training, yes.
Oh, and was it like literally every day, or did they mix it up, or different parts of the day and that kind of thing?
All day, every day. We had some lectures in the evening, and we'd often go off into the hills at the weekends, landscaping as well.
I was actually going to ask, did you do any landscaping art as well, which is fantastic. So it was people and landscapes, buildings as well?
Well, I really enjoy painting more structural aspects of a landscape, but that was just in our free time. It wasn't really taught, but we kind of just guided each other. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Did you travel to any other parts of Italy to do that as well?
Oh gosh, yeah, I couldn't get enough. I mean, the school was based in Florence, but yeah, I've spent a lot of time there. We actually, my husband and I ended up living in Naples later on. So yes, I do. It's home from home.
Oh, so you lived, so you did your study there, then you kind of moved there, and then you came back to the UK. What brought you back to the UK?
So the second time was with my husband's work. So it was a posting, military posting, actually. So, yeah, it was just the end of that that time, and we're settled in the UK now, yeah.
Brilliant. That's exciting. You went to Italy and the art and the food, not to mention the food.
I know,
the food must have been fantastic, you know?
Yeah, it was. And the weather, just being outside, and you know that they know how to live well out there.
Oh, I'm sure. I've heard Italian food is some of the healthiest food on the planet. That's what I've heard. The Mediterranean diet is meant to be. And also I heard that people tend to live longer because of the diet and the lifestyle and that kind of thing, you know?
You're right. I think they were like top, one of the top countries, weren't they? I think it's all the olive oil. It's all the fresh olive oil.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
I love olive oil. So back to art. How would you describe your work?
As I say, it is representational, but I do really enjoy pushing those boundaries. And I've always been inspired and captivated by faces. I find that's where you experience that connection with humanity. And, there's such a story to be told, like just behind someone's eyes. So people do find my work kind of engaging. They see that the eyes really do speak and connect with you.
Do you, and you mentioned you like structural art as well. So you, as well as people, you do structures. Is that right?
Yeah, well, just in my spare time, really, when I like painting landscapes, I am more drawn to the buildings or, like a really good cypress tree, you know. but predominantly I do paint portraits, yeah. But the larger scale ones, there are backgrounds, and you know, that just depends on the person and the story I'm trying to tell as to what the background is.
Any popular destinations that you've painted in?
Oh gosh, so many. Yeah, I do love to travel and paint. So India, I'm very much hoping to go back to India next year and paint some more there. But Africa, I've spent many a trip in Africa and had an exhibition or two around that work. So I love different cultures and learning about the way that people are there and the relationships they have with one another and themselves in different environments. Yeah.
Do you do animals as well?
I do. I don't tend to sort of shout about it too much because I know how much people love their animals. So I do focus on the portraiture, and if someone wants an animal within that, then that's fine. Yeah.
When you were in Africa, did you do any kind of like wildlife? I'm thinking now of like when people, yeah, they go to the desert areas or secluded areas where you've got the lions and the tigers and that kind of thing. Did you go to those kind of areas and do painting as well?
Yes. Oh yeah. I
can't. Safari. Yeah. That's it. Safari.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. I'm desperate to go back and paint some more rhinos. You know, they're really suffering out there along with the elephants. And I mean, the list goes on, but so it's really special to capture those kind of animals for sure. And I would love to go back. I mean, as a family and to experience that together, but yeah, to get my paints out and capture them as much as possible. You know, I sadly they're becoming rarer and rarer. So yeah, it's you know, that really speaks to me as well.
Oh, is it quite obvious out there by word of mouth that you've heard that there's not as many species of certain animals around like before? Is that right?
Oh, they're being, you know, they're just being hunted. And even one of the rhinos that I painted a few years back had just the slightest stump of a horn. It had been purposefully taken off, so she wasn't going to be, going to be taken for the horn. But she was still killed a month later. I found out. So, it's everywhere there, and I know there's a lot of work being done, but it's very corrupt kind of, system happening that unfortunately might not, you know, really get resolved. I don't know. There's a lot of work to be done.
No, of course. And I think elephants as well is another challenge as well, and the tusks and that kind of thing, isn't it? Very sad, very sad. Let's talk about why you became an artist, because that'd be interesting to hear the story. Was you really young, or did it happen later on?
I've always drawn and painted. My parents tell me, we do have quite an artistic family. But it just kind of happened naturally. You know, I was painting and drawing and doing textiles and photography through my school education. And then I went on to do an art foundation course. And then I saw an artist copying a painting by John Singer Sargent in the National Portrait Gallery. And it was just outstanding. And I went and asked him where he had trained, and he said Florence. So that was the moment where I wanted to follow that kind of path. But I think it's the technical skill in that moment and seeing his work was definitely a draw. But as I said, it's the story and telling the story behind people is what I've really been attracted to.
Oh, fantastic. You mentioned photography. Do you do photography as well, or is that something from the past? Or,
I mean, thank goodness I did do a bit of photography. I did photography A-level. It's certainly serving me well now. I mean, even just photographing my work. And I do a lot of work with children. So a lot of my commissions are of young children, and having young kids myself, I know that even capturing a photograph of them can be really challenging. So I do work from photographs with younger ages, but it's helpful for sure.
So you do a combination. So you might be somewhere live and it's whatever it may be in front of you. But then if you're out and you see something that actually captures your imagination, you're like, right, I'm taking a picture of that and I'm going to go back and I'm going to paint it or whatever it is, basically. Would that be right?
Well, actually not so much. If it's outside and landscape, then I probably, I'll come back to that spot and paint it from life. I mean, with landscape, the light is forever changing, as we know, like throughout the day. You can stand in front of a spot for 10 minutes and the clouds come over and everything's changed colours. And I really just get inspired to particularly where we live in the Surrey Hills, and on my school run, I'm just constantly looking out the window thinking, oh, I need to stop there and paint that. But no, the camera really is, I use it in the studio, yes, or on people's faces abroad. You know, when you can't stop and capture them, I'd take a quick snap. Yeah.
Brilliant. Do you use different materials? Like, do you use like oil paints or water paints, depending on what you're painting?
Yeah, well, I actually only work in charcoal or oil. But I'm a painter, really. If I'm working just on by myself on something, then it's definitely paints I'm more drawn to. Hats off to anyone who works in watercolour. I've tried, and it's a different way around. You know, you have to keep the lights, the white of the paper, and work around it and kind of build up the darks, as I understand. But with oil, you've got a kind of a more choice, and you can move things around, take it away, you know, completely start again if you wanted. So it's got more freedom to it.
I remember when I did A-level arts, and I remember the teacher saying, basically, no lines, your actual the actual colors you're using for whatever object or whatever it is the line, basically, if that makes sense.
You're painting or drawing the mass, you're not drawing, yeah, exactly, a line. There's no lines on a face, there's no lines in nature, really. It's just it's all tone and mass. It's more sculptural.
Absolutely. I think what it is, you know, when you're young and you're just using a pencil or whatever it might be, or biro, whatever it is, and you're drawing the lines and everything, and then you transition into something more, going from amateur now to professional, then the person's obviously going to be like, well, hold on a second, we just don't draw lines. It's a bit of a no-no.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be you have to use the colours and to define the, whatever the shapes are and that kind of thing, you know? I think it's something like that, you know. Is there a certain method that you use when painting, or?
Well, yeah, it is that size method that I still work by. So you stand back and have the person, and even with a landscape, you have the landscape next to the piece of work you're working on, the canvas or the board or the whatever. So it's kind of a perspective game, and you walk back and forth, constantly checking what it looks like from a distance, and it's kind of spot the difference then. So it's easier, less challenging on the eyes. You're not having to make something a different size. You're just literally flicking your eye to and fro between the two.
When you do paint, does it like relax you and you kind of feel free? What do you go through emotionally?
Oh gosh, yeah, it is like a form of therapy for me, and I think a lot of my sitters find that too. You know, I just really get into it, and there's the method that I follow, so that just having that system in place allows you to relax and enjoy it, and just hours go by without even realizing. You know, and same for my sitters. They, you know, it's quite nice to just be told to sit vaguely still and not do anything. Particularly in this very hectic world we live in, you know, and I mean, people might listen to something on the odd occasion, but generally people just enjoy sitting and having a conversation, and then, you know, just enjoying the silences, and there's enough time for all of that. So it's quite therapeutic, sure.
Fantastic, fantastic. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, The station that makes you feel good.
So, Caroline, thank you for that. Can I ask, who have you enjoyed painting?
Well, I mean, you know, having lived in Florence for a few years, I was always drawn to the more unusual faces. I'd always be the first to ask someone when a model came up through the studio door. I'd want to be the first to paint them so they hadn't been kind of taken by someone else before. And as I said, I take my easel many places around the world and love capturing people in their environments. But what's really exciting is when you get beneath the surface and you find the true emotions and people, true emotions and feelings within that person. And when that's captured on canvas, it's just magical.
How do they feel, the people you're painting? What kind of emotions do they go through once they see the finished? Oh no, when you're doing it and then afterwards, once you've finished the painting.
Yeah, but people find it really strange seeing themselves, right? It's like, you know, if I listen to myself on this show, it's really awkward experience at first. But then it's really interesting. I think people, you know, aside from looking in the mirror, you're not really looking through someone else's eyes at yourself. So, they're interested to see how I see them. And I think because they're sitting for such a long period of time, maybe if it's only an hour and a half at a time, they really settle into themselves and the true person eventually comes out, you know, maybe in the first 5 minutes. It takes someone a while to get into it. But after about 5 minutes, this sort of, you know, your body settles in, it starts to relax, and those poses and mannerisms that are unique to that person come out, and that's what I like. And then you start having conversation, and the conversation might get deeper and deeper, and then you get the emotion, and it's really an interesting process. And it's fascinating allowing them. That's what's so great about live sittings, is when they can hop down off the chair and take a look themselves, and you know, just have that relationship with this other them that's in the room. It's quite cool.
Do they talk to you about their personal life as well? Because you're painting them and they're feeling, you're obviously making them feel very comfortable. They're more relaxed. Do they start talking about their life with you at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the hairdresser and you're there a while and you start having a really good chat, but you're not at the hairdresser surrounded by other people. You think, oh, what's everyone's listening in? And I guess because most of the time my sitters don't know me, they can really just let go, and you know.
That's right. That makes a lot of sense, because they're thinking, well, you might see some people again, I don't know, but there's some people you might not see again, and they're thinking, oh, I can just talk to this person and she doesn't know anyone I know, and I don't know anyone she knows, and he or she just kind of talks to you about the world.
Exactly. And the focus is all on them, you know, and I might be looking at their eyes for a few minutes at a time, but otherwise I'm looking all around at them. And so, you know, we're not kind of sitting there with our eyes. It's not a very intense conversation. It's quite relaxed because of that.
What areas of their life do they tend to talk about?
Oh gosh, it could be anything. But yeah, often it does get very personal, and I don't know, maybe that's just me and what I'm interested in. But yeah, I love talking about relationships and you know, why people are the way they are, their childhoods, their own personalities and where that's come from. Yeah,
it sounds like almost a little bit of a counselling role in terms of listening sometimes.
That'd be right.
Yeah. And the person gets something out of it as well. And they're there for about one and a half hours. Do some people, have they ever said that they kind of start to meditate or anything like that?
I mean, I guess so sometimes. I had one chap actually this used to happen quite a lot in Italy. Our models, because they'd be modelling a lot and they were students a lot of the time, they'd you know, I guess they would just go into themselves and conversation would dry up and sometimes even fall asleep. So you'd have to be given...
I was going
to
ask that. I was actually going to ask that question.
But the sitting, like, you know, one sitting would be an hour and a half. And with my clients now, if I can get that and another, maybe another sitting a couple of days later, then that's fantastic. But, you know, I like to just paint the flesh from life. That's, if I can do that, then that's great.
Who would you like to paint?
Oh, gosh, great question. My ideal kind of person is anyone with a lot of great curly hair. Love painting curly hair. I really enjoy people who just kind of have got a free spirit, aren't very kind of particular and kind of caught up in the way that they look. I mean, I know that's normal. It's kind of a normal trait to have, but... I've got a client at the moment who's just so wild and free, and it just comes through in the painting, and it just makes for this awesomeness. I love, and you know, she's a young woman, and I just think, oh, it's just fab to be able to embrace that kind of freedom and confidence. Yeah.
Do you travel to the person's home, or can you, or do they usually come to your studio, or?
Either or, but in the studio I've got north light windows, so that means the light is consistent, and it's really flattering light on the face. If I go to someone's house, that's a bit more challenging, but that can be useful if you want part of their home to be in the background or something. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, of course, you've got to think about the light, isn't it? When you walk into a room, whether you're going to travel somewhere or in your own studio, you've got to think about the impact of the light. So when you walk into a room now, do you think about that straight away kind of thing?
Oh God, yeah. And when the lights are, you know, really coming from a good source and it's having an impact in the room, oh, it's just, yeah, really inspiring. It can be anything, you know, it can be just a vase on a table with the right lighting. It just looks, you know, phenomenal in comparison to, you know, I don't know, something where the shadows are maybe not so attractive. Yeah, completely changes the room and what's in it, for sure.
Do you paint nighttime as well, scenery?
You know what? I'm really interested in doing that. In Florence, it was something I wanted to do before I'd left. Head up to, there's a piazza called Piazzale Michelangelo, and you can see the old wall around the city from up there. And there's no lights on it, but that kind of that in comparison with the lights in the city and the golden glow of it, I really wanted to capture. But we were in Amsterdam, staying on a houseboat about a year and a half ago, and there was windows, so many windows to paint out of. And once the kids were asleep, I'd settle into a bit of painting, and I was painting that, those kind of lights glowing out of the windows, and it's enjoyable. It's just, you just got to make sure you can see your canvas at the same time. It's a bit of the challenge.
Who's your favorite painter, or who inspires you?
You know what, I mostly get inspired by life, and as I say, the people I meet and the stories they tell, for sure. But in terms of painting, I mean, John Singer Sargent is the obvious person. He painted in a lovely, free flowing, kind of effortless way. It makes the paint look like it's still wet, and I love that. A thicker sort of brush marks and impasto marks by someone like Velasquez are just wonderful. But yeah, it's the kind of the compositions and the poses more of modern day artists inspire me. I know they've got this room now at the National Portrait Gallery, you know, it's just reopened, which is dedicated to people that might have been less represented in history. And that kind of thing really interests me. More the subject.
Do you use certain colors? I've spoken to people in the past, like years ago, where they like to use certain colors because they like to theme their drawings, their paintings, and also there's certain colors that create mood. if that makes sense. Like, you know, you've got your purples and blues and pinks, and then you've got your red, oranges. And do you know what I mean? It's like it creates that mood. Do you have that as well, that kind of, you know, combination of colours which you like to use?
Yeah, I do. I definitely tend to push the colours within a painting a bit. And I have found, so when I was in India, having just been in Africa, I was tinting my canvases kind of brighter colours before I'd paint on them. So the ground would normally be quite neutral. And then I decided to go for these brighter tones, brighter colours, sorry. And I continued that with the Indian works. And there's a city called Jodhpur out in Rajasthan where all the walls of the buildings are painted blue. And I just loved that as a backdrop, which, you know, to the people that I was painting, and how the warmth of their skin tones on, you know, the cool of the blue. But yeah, you're right. It does also affect mood. And I am interested in exploring that. It's something that's been on my mind actually. So you'll have to watch the space and see what happens.
Could you share an example of a person whose transformation you've witnessed and how it impacted their journey?
Yes. So that makes me think of this project that I worked on for many years, 6 or 7 years it was, called War Paint. And I was painting injured serving personnel and veterans. And I produced these 12 life-size paintings of them. And they're now hanging at Stamford Hall, which is the new rehabilitation centre up in the Midlands. But I painted them in a positive light as to sort of what they are doing with their lives today. So the focus wasn't on their injuries, it's on the positive part. And there were many sitters involved, and you know, it was about telling that positive story. And with the paintings being life size, full length, you know, that's bigger than most people's doors, it really had that kind of impact. And for them, sitting, as we were saying earlier, like that kind of therapeutic experience of sitting for me and telling their story and it being about something else other than their injuries. Yes, we did chat about that and how that's taken them to where they are now. But yeah, I think just watching that process of me painting this and focusing on this new stage of their lives and the journey, you know, and reflecting therefore on the journey they've had, really did, you know, it was hugely emotional project to work on. And I think for everyone involved, you know, watching each other grow through it and see how far they've come was really beneficial for sure.
Can people like this person that you painted, can they privately have a painting from you? Basically, you do private as well as other types of painting.
Yeah. So mostly I work by commission, but this was as a charity project, if you like. So War Paint was something I did just to support and give recognition to these people and hopefully motivate others that are going through rehabilitation to see, you know, to see the journey that the people I painted had. This was a charity. It was giving to charity. It was supporting 4 different charities and raised £80,000 for those charities as part of the project. Yeah,
that's fantastic. So you do charity work as well, basically.
Yeah, it's something that I do. I am really drawn to is helping draw attention and focus to people that are maybe less seen. Yeah.
Have you got any plans in the future? Are there other projects coming up which you include charity work at all?
It's something I'm thinking about. So, I mean, this year it's been quite a journey this year. I started off wanting to enter Sky Portrait Artist of the Year, if you've heard of that. It's a competition whereby you have to enter a self-portrait. And so that in itself is a journey. I'll talk about that in a minute. So I get onto the program, and which you can watch on. So the program itself starts on the 4th of October, but you can watch me on there on the 18th of October, Wednesday the 18th of October, and I'm the subject I paint. So you're given a celebrity sitter. You don't know who that is until the actual day. And you have 4 hours to paint them. And so, you know, not only have you got to translate the sitter's physical features, but I also wanted to sensitively delve into the emotions of this person and the inner essence. And yeah, it just made me really reflect on how that's what I'm really truly interested in. And kind of condensing that portrait painting process into just 4 hours, you know, is so challenging. And even in that high intensity environment, and well, maybe that was why I could then it kind of this clarity just came to me with what I want to do. And so it has led on to thoughts for my next project, which is, I think, going to be, well, I know, sorry, it's going to be based around female empowerment. So supporting women that have supported other vulnerable women is what I'm interested in.
Brilliant. That sounds really, really cool. I think that'd be fantastic.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, no, of course. I think that's brilliant. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Caroline, thank you for that insight. You've done so much over the years. I mean, when you think back over your career, what would be your proudest moment?
My proudest moment was probably in that war paint, within that war paint project. So, as I said, there were 12 full-length life-size paintings, and I was pushed because we were then living in Naples, as I mentioned at the beginning. And so I was having to transport the paintings to and fro, do sittings in London, finish them off in Naples. It was hugely challenging. And it was the first time that I really explored painting those kind of stories, telling someone's stories on such a large scale in the background. Not always painting from life, which is what I'm used to. One painting, for example, it's of a boxer. He's an ex-Marine suffering from terrible PTSD. And he's mid-boxing action, mid-punch in the painting. And behind him are all of his kind of thoughts and demons, as I call them. So I had to try and imagine, you know, use my imagination quite a bit there and just sort of paint in thin air in the background. So yeah, that, you know, but I'm just going through that process and wanting so desperately to do this for other people really did just made me realize that it's the message that comes across as the important one, not necessarily the technical side and, you know, and just to go for it and let go. And it certainly challenged me and then enabled me to be more comfortable in this next project that I want to do.
Brilliant. Have you been up to anything else this year at all?
Well, I mean, as I say, there's that self-portrait, which was hugely reflective. You know, obviously you're sitting there and you've got a mirror in front of you. So you're kind of spending a lot of time with yourself and you know, talk about therapy. It kind of was a therapy kind of experience. And I, that day when I sat and set up the pose, I just felt really kind of ready for it. I felt like I was, felt pretty confident and comfortable with myself, and the pose reflects that. So I'm just leaning forward. My legs are open. I've got a palette in hand, and, it kind of links back in a way to the way that old master, like male old masters, would paint themselves, you know, like, and I'm wearing a shirt and trousers. But it is still very, very, very feminine. And, I think that's what on Sky Arts, I think that's what the judges were drawn to. So yeah, it's that kind of thing that I'm interested in, you know, how traditionally oil painting has held this position of like prestige and often reserved for those of influence, or people who could afford to commission a portrait, and therefore it's those individuals that are on the walls of grand estates and galleries. But yeah, I really like seeking out those individuals who contribute significantly, but maybe in a more discreet way.
Did you find it strange painting yourself, or was you okay with it? Was you comfortable?
It is really awkward, particularly setting the pose up and you're like, oh, do I want this or that? Or, you know, how do you see yourself and how are other people going to see yourself and all of those normal human kind of reactions to one another. And but then when I was comfortable, I was like, it's just me. This is just painted just for me and to kind of capture this moment in my life. And then it kind of, you know, allows you to, for the inner self to come out. It's very challenging because once you put a brush mark down, you have to come back and look at yourself again. And of course you're concentrating and yeah.
Yeah. It must be difficult, isn't it? Because firstly you have to, you know, it's yourself. And then absolutely you're going back and forth, come back to the, you know, yourself and painting. And I'll probably start laughing at myself, you know.
Yeah, exactly. As well, yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you feel this experience is leading to next?
It's, as I say, I'm very interested in painting women and someone's kind of authentic self and this idea of female empowerment, yeah, it interests me. I've been commissioned to paint General Sharon Naismith by Sandhurst, military training academy. And she is the first ever female general in the army. And she's also second in command of the army.
Gosh.
So I feel like she, you know, she might be quite a focal point of my exhibition. And you know, one of the other pieces that is sitting here now in the studio is a ginormous circular canvas, blank at the moment, but it's ready to receive a painting of my two little girls. They're 3 and 6, and you know, they're quite small. And as I say, the canvas is huge, so they're just brushing their teeth together. But in the background, I want to fill it with their conversation. So their immediate conversation in that moment is about the tooth fairy and what they think. They're kind of having a little argument about it. Well, no, I think the tooth fairy is like this. I think it's like this. And it's, we hadn't actually talked about the tooth fairy in our family. So it's interesting to hear how where their influences have come from. And then that kind of conversation gets wider, you know, and even the little girl is telling her big sister, it's okay to make mistakes. You know, don't worry, and looking after her, and you know, there's two young women teaching each other, and this is where it starts, you know, and I just love that how they, you know, they're vulnerable, but they're supporting each other and encouraging each other, and that's what I feel like we all need is that, and that's what I want to give to people is that support and encouragement in who they're trying to be wherever they're at in their lives, and yeah, I just love the fact that that journey is just growing right in front of me with my two children. And it's going to be demonstrated with their own drawings, and I hopefully get my eldest girl to write a lot of the words that she's been saying. I've been taking a lot of notes. So that's what's up next in the studio here. And who knows how it will develop and who I'll be painting next. I've got some people in mind I'd love to ask to be part of the project. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's brilliant. How do you believe your approach to portraiture can shed light on the stories of those often overlooked?
Well, I think now being a mother, particularly of two young girls, as I said, I'm passionate about supporting people who kind of been through this experience and just experienced how dramatically women have to adapt and change and how isolating and challenging that can be due to the kind of restrictions that a child can put on a person, even in today's society. But it can really shake things up. It gives you clarity and display core values that you have, pushing through what that is that drives you and to get up every day, however hard and indescribable, sometimes can be. You get that kind of perspective, being a parent, kind of perspective on humanity. And, somehow want to kind of support people in that position.
Do you ever, you wake up in the morning and you're like, you know what, I really want to paint whatever it might be. It could be the sky because of the weather. You wake up, it's beautiful blue sky, or it could be rainy and cloudy, or you want to do a landscape, or you want to paint someone. Do you go into those kind of like feelings, like when you, or just during the day, you feel like, oh, you know what, I just want to really paint this, and, you know, with your freedom of mind and all the rest of it?
Yeah, sure. I think it's so important to run with that those feelings. Particularly as an artist, I remember this. You reminded me of a day a couple of winters ago. Maybe it was during COVID, more COVID times. Yeah, I think it was 2020, and it snowed. And I just said to my husband, "I'm going to go painting." And I just grabbed my easel, put my snow boots on and my coat, and walked out the door. And just ran with that moment, like you're saying, you know. God, we certainly need to do more of that. But we need to have the space to do it, or at least just try and make it work and run with that feeling when it's there, for sure.
Absolutely. What's the most complex thing you, or person, or whatever it might be, that you've painted?
Most complex thing. Gosh.
It was a real challenge. You're like, gosh, this is... Well, in the beginning, it seemed, you know, like it was okay. And then you're like, as you're going along, you're like, oh, gosh, this is actually quite complex.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's probably... I've got two things in mind. Probably the first ever little baby I drew. That's very challenging because babies' faces are so simple, you know. But to capture that likeness, you have to get the marks just right to make it look like that particular baby, right? But you're also making me think of this commission I had of four people. One of them was able to sit, come to my studio, and the others were done from a photocopy. The lighting was so challenging, and one of them was blind, actually, so she wasn't looking at out at us, and I was trying to get the engagement with her without it coming to her too much of it was just really, really difficult. And having not met them, I just found that's so, so, so difficult. But I got there in the end. And you know, it's just all about communication. Just kept communicating with the person who commissioned me and learned more about their personalities, and, you know, was able to complete it to good standards. So, yeah.
Of course, if there's a few people, it must be quite challenging, isn't it? Because you're you're trying to engage them, but at the same time, there's more people. There's not just one now. There's a few people. And it's also the psychology behind it, because sometimes you're talking to all of them and you're doing the painting and there's a lot going on, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. A lot going on. Yeah.
Where can people find you if they want to connect with you, or they want to maybe commission any of your, you know, you to paint them or anything like that?
So I guess through my website, it's Caroline de Pericarve. That's DEPEYRECAVE.co.uk. Or on Instagram, I'm de Pericarve Portraits. You'll find me on there as well. Trying to get used to TikTok, but let's start with that.
Social media, right?
I know, gosh.
Caroline, thank you so much for today and sharing about, you know, what you, you know, your art and what you do. And that, I think it's brilliant. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here.
No worries. And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.